Amen. If you're visiting tonight, and I know I did not greet you guys, we won't grab those. I'd love to see you after church. Love to get a record of your visit. I forgot to do that, and I apologize for that. But if you are visiting tonight, you might have no clue what we're doing tonight. You might say this seems like an atypical Wednesday night service. There's not going to be someone preaching. Can I tell you the whole purpose behind what we do is that song? Because Jesus loves me, we have loved to tell other people that Jesus loves them as well. Amen. We had a group that went up to Maryland, Salisbury, Maryland, which is actually my home church where I grew up. I am a product of the bus ministry of Salisbury, Maryland. Amen. Those red and white buses that some of you saw. As a three-year-old boy, I climbed up on one of those steps and I started coming to church. Someone told me how Jesus loved me. Amen. And you know, after that, it took a while, but I grew to love him too. Amen. So again, as a product of that, I know I went up the week before. I was encouraged. Thank you, everyone who went on Soul Winning Marathon. Just being around people that taught me, people that grew up. You guys, even before you got there, were an encouragement and shot in an arm to a church. So I'm going to bring this down. Brother Morgan's going to come up here and take the pulpit, and then he's going to call some people up to give testimonies.
All right. Well, let me just say this. There's a purpose for Landmark Baptist College. And I think you can find it right here in Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 30. It says this, for the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We want to train wise servants for the Lord. We also need wise laymen for the Lord also. Amen. And we appreciate all the laymen that went up with us and all the teens and everyone else that helped us in all that. Let me just say this on behalf of all the students and all the teens and everybody that went. Thank you, church, for all the expense and all the underwriting that trip for us and helping us get there. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having a church that stays with it, that keeps on going in the way they should go. So with that said, I'm going to ask Brother Bill Bradley to come up and start us out and get going. Then after that, I need Doug Otches to be down here in the front ready to go as soon as he's done. All right? Amen.
All right. Good evening. I've been to a few of these soul winning marathons now. This is number 27. And somebody asked me last week which one was my favorite, and I said this one. Amen.
Amen.
And if they ask me next year which one's my favorite, I'll say this one. And they've all been good in their own unique way, special way. And we did see a good number of people saved. And started out with Brother Betancourt as my soul winning partner. And then throughout the course of the days, we got shuffled around a little bit as the need arose. And I had several different ones, but my main soul winning partner was Brother Betancourt. And we communicated with each other about half the time successfully, amen. And I didn't understand half of what he said in Spanish, English, and he didn't understand half of what I said in English, amen, but we got along. We'd break up into prayer groups every morning before we'd go out and spend some time praying as our teams of four, and he'd pray in Spanish. I have no idea what he was saying, but it sounded good, so I went ahead and amened it anyway, amen. But it was a blessing, and we did have an opportunity to win some people to the Lord. And I witnessed to Moses. Moses didn't get saved, but then I witnessed to Elijah, and he did get saved, amen. So that's good to know. And one of the things that stood out the most to me this trip was, well, just every year it's the same, but this year I noticed again just the spirit of the soul winners. They don't want to quit.
Yep.
And now I figured we walk between 4 and 5 miles a day going door to door and spending hours and hours every day out knocking on doors. And to be honest with you, when that van rolled around about 5:30 in the evening wrapping things up and they said, okay, let's go, it's time to go, it did not break my heart that it was time to go. Amen. I was tired. I put in a long day and I was ready to be done for the day. But some of them were disappointed. They had quit, and they just wanted to keep going and just to see that. And then even on the way home, you heard Pastor said the other day that Brother Bob won somebody to the Lord on the airplane. And I tried to witness to the lady in front of me. I was surrounded by Landmark people. I didn't know if they wanted to get saved or not, so I didn't witness to them. But the one lady in front of me overheard a conversation we were having. in the row behind her, and she turned around and started talking, and I tried to witness to her, and she really wasn't all that interested. She informed me she was on her church council, so I guess that's what's going to get her to heaven, she thinks. But anyway, just Mrs. Knaus handed out a whole stack of tracts at the airport, just buttonholing everybody, handing out tracts and folks witnessing. And the Christian life is a soul winning marathon, isn't it?
Amen.
And we dedicate those few days to it, and we give ourselves to it for several hours every day for that the amount of time. But then I'm just glad to see that fire still burning in so many, and there's still a lot of people to reach for Christ. Amen. So again, it was a great blessing. And just to see the folks, the spirit just stayed sweet. Nobody seemed like they were, ready to give up or had a bad attitude about anything. And just hung in there and worked hard and won a lot of people to Christ. And it was just an exciting time. Amen. And just looking forward to next year's. If Jesus comes back in between now and next spring and interrupts our plans, then I doubt if any of us will be too disappointed. Amen. But otherwise, I'll get number 28. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
I just wanted to know about Mrs. Peach. She had some eye surgery today, I believe, didn't she? Did anybody hear how she did? She did? Okay, because, it might have been announced during church, during announcements, but I missed it because I don't pay attention like I should. So,
that's right.
Amen. So they say an army travels on its stomach, and I believe that's true. And I want to thank Mrs. Whitehead and Mrs. Parsons and all the ladies who fed us so well out there in the Soul Winning Marathon. Anytime there's an event going on and Mrs. Whitehead's there, I know I'm going to eat good.
Amen.
And it's a blessing. What a blessing. So I want to thank Mrs. Whitehead, wherever she may be right now. But praise the Lord. There you are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for Mrs. Whitehead. Brother Bill just said he had different partners. And the first person I won, I was with Brother Bill, and it was a lady. And she said, I believe God just sent me to you because I've been praying for, I didn't know how to get to heaven. And I've been just praying about that. And she said, I've been looking for a church, the right church. And I've been praying about that. And she said, I believe the Lord just led me to you. And I said, I believe he has too. And she trusted Christ. So that was good. I had Daniel Betancourt, and he can speak English very well. And he's a blessing. And I think one time he got to speak Spanish a couple of times. He is a great soul winner, and I enjoyed being with him. There was a few times he got a little nervous for some reason. I think when we get in front of these big, tough guys, we get intimidated a little bit, and there might have been a few times he was intimidated. But he got it back on track, and I kept on praying. We met this young man named Vaughn. He looked like a sports star of some sort. And Daniel led him to the Lord, and it was just a blessing. What a blessing just to see this young man. And when you're talking to someone and they're not quite getting it all, and they're not understanding everything, and then all of a sudden, bing, the light comes on. That's what Vaughn was when Daniel was talking to him, when he was witnessing to him. And Vaughn just got it right there. You could just see the difference in his face in just a couple of seconds. It was amazing. And I just there was a chair there, and I just sat down and I kept on praying for Vaughn. And what a blessing that was. And there was another one right before that. We were on this really long street. It was such a blessing. But there was this one. There was these two construction guys, and they were working on his house, and I got lucky enough, and I was able to just walk up to them and start talking to them about the Lord. And I said, if you got a couple of minutes, do you know how to get to heaven? And both of them were like, no, I don't know. And I got to lead them both to the Lord right there.
Amen.
And I said, you are my favorite kind of guys, you tough guys that look like you, and all of a sudden your heart melts, and it's just a blessing. And it was just so good. Their name were Angel and Alex. And come to find out, they were brothers. And I think it was just a blessing between them because they realized, my brother and I just trusted the Lord today together. Now they're not only brothers in blood, but they're brothers in Christ, and that was a good thing. So
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But the Soul Winner Marathon was great, and it's just always a blessing. So Amen. So a lot of people said, well, Brother Doug and Brother Daniel, they just kept getting one after another. Well, I mean, whatever we did, and it was all for the Lord. And it was a blessing just to be hanging out with Daniel and with all these other guys. We had Isaac and why can't I think of it? Scotty Sears, and they were the other guys on our team, and it was just fun. We had a good time with them. Amen.
Amen. Brother Chris.
Man, this is my first one that I ever got to go to, and I had a great time. I didn't get to see anybody saved personally, but I had a lot of opportunities to speak with a lot of people and just use some things that's happened here recently in my past just to try and encourage those. Me and Brother Ron, we stayed in the room together. We got to conversate a lot. We went Tuesday and picked up a piece of equipment and worked on it Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we got it going. So Wednesday afternoon, we were able to go out. It was me and Jacoby was my partner, and I had Jasper with me for a little while. And then later, Dr. Bradley jumped out of the van, and him and them two teamed up so we could finish up some side streets. But we was on this street, and I ran into a gentleman named Maynard. Actually, the first person that we talked to was this guy come out of the house, knocked on the door. He comes out of the house, just witnessing to him. His girlfriend comes out, and she's playing like, oh, we need to go. So I got through the whole thing, didn't have an opportunity to get him to ask the Lord to save him. But he took all the information. I said, please read this again tonight. We go down the street just a few houses across the road, and I look back, and they're running back in the house. I was like, these chickens, they ran away from us. But Maynard, an older gentleman, he come to the door, and I thought he was a truck driver for a minute because he had the headset on, but was able to go through the whole plan of salvation with him, and he didn't want to get saved. I tried to beg him, because on the way up there, we were sharing different messages back and forth that we were watching, and this one preacher I was watching brought this out that I never paid attention to. The scripture says, now is the day of salvation. It doesn't say today. It says now.
Amen.
Is the accepted time. And that's what really rung in my head, especially with him. And it was good, because as we walked away from that house, remember his daughter, he went on in the house. We stepped away. And then his daughter comes out of the house, and she thanks us for coming by and visiting. And she actually said that she's been to SBT. She went there with a girl named Tiffany. I don't know who Tiffany was, never got to meet her, but she was just very thankful that we came out and that we visited with them. On Tuesday night, me and Brother Ron was out running, trying to get some parts and stuff, and we go to AutoZone, and he ends up giving them a track, the two workers that were there, and the black gentleman that was sitting there working, he seemed like he was going to be a little standoffish, but then when he looked at the track, he goes, hey, y'all got them red and white buses, don't you? And he was like, yeah, man, y'all picked up my kids on, you know, and this and that. So we tried to encourage him to get back in there, to come back to church. That was Tuesday night. The Maynard, he was Wednesday. These are some names I just want to throw out there for you to pray for. A gentleman named Toby, he was super excited. He was so thankful that we came by. He said there was some ladies that came by about a year before us. And, man, he's like, I promised them that I was going to show up. And he's like, I'm going to show up now. He says, I've got to show up now, you know, for sure. He was thankful for that. That was the afternoon. Thursday morning, we were able to go out. And as we went out, first thing my roommate here says was, he looks up in the sky. He goes, it looks like it's going to snow. I'm like, let's don't call snow down out here, brother. So, but it was pretty cold. It was just cloudy. No sunshine. But the first house that me and Jacoby was able to interact with somebody was a man named Terry. He's a Vietnam veteran. When he come to the door, he had his hat on. For me, I always trying to connect with those, because me being in the military, my dad being in Vietnam, I always use that as a connection point. And as Brother Jacoby was trying to give him the gospel, the guy just says, he looks at him and he says, me and God are not on good terms right now. So Jacoby kind of froze because he didn't know where to go from there. So I stepped in and I'm like, sir, you know, I started talking to him. He was upset because his son, he said, God took my son at 32 years old. He could have healed my son. I said, yes, sir, he could have. But there's things that he does for his honor and his glory. And we don't understand it. And he just kept on, I don't know why my son had to die. I said, sir, can I ask you something? Why did Jesus have to die the way that he died? He did nothing wrong. And he just kind of stared at me. And then he kept on and he went on again. He was like, well, my son was 32 years old. I said, sir, do you know how old Jesus was when he passed away? He was about 33. And it just kind of stunned him. He just stood there. He's just hardened right now. He said that he's saved, all right? He told me that he got saved a long time ago, but he's just angry right now. And I begged him to go get a Bible and open it up and read it and even get to the church and let the Lord minister to his heart. His name was Terry. Right after that, I met a guy named Jeff. He wasn't from the area. He was there taking care of his parents. So I was able to share with him about my mom just passing away and the importance of knowing if you're saved, and was able to let him know that I have peace because I know where my mom is at. And I said, sir, you can also take this track and you can get saved and then you can lead your parents to Christ. So pray for him. There was another lady we ran into on Thursday afternoon. She said that she got saved because her son rode the bus. And because he got saved, that's what got her to church, and she got saved. I don't remember her name. My memory bank, he's not here tonight. I ran into a lady named Karen. We were in the little apartment complex. She was Catholic. She didn't want to hear it, but we had a great conversation. I begged her to look over the track. A few other good people there. Friday, a lady named Linda, she was a widow. She began to weep when I asked her if she was saved. She was saying that she was sorry. Her husband just passed away. She was having a hard time getting it out. I said, no problem. My mom just passed away, so I understand. And Anthony, oh man, he does everything. He gave me the whole list of everything that he does that he's banking on to get to heaven. I mentioned about him showing him from the Bible. He says, oh yeah, I read the Bible too. I pray these prayers and repeat these verses and all that. Pray for him. He's got cancer. He was going to get a test done. And then another lady named Judy. Judy was the last one that we talked to in that place there. She said that she was saved. She just moved to the area about 8 years ago. She was in a church. She looked at me. This is not usually what you get. All right. She looked at me and she goes, we get sermonettes. And I'm like, wow. She says that she was looking to, that she would most likely come out to visit the church. But it was a great time that we had, good fellowship, good friendship, great food, and just being able to get out and about and visit some people. Just, like I say, didn't see anybody save myself, but was able to try and encourage those and just use some things that just happened to me to help encourage those and try and strengthen those up. But we want to thank you for everything that you've done, church. Thank you.
Man, Josiah.
Good evening, church. My name is Josiah Vasellis. I'm in ninth grade and I'm homeschooled. This was a great Sony marathon. And like a few years ago, I was just like, like just telling everyone, just like thinking how cool it would be to go on a plane to Sony marathon. Cause like we used to go like 3 or 4 hours away just driving. But then we like flew to New Mexico. And I was like, oh, so it's really not that big of a deal. I've done it before. When I found out they were flying this time, but then we got to the airport and I just realized like how cool it was that like actual thing where you could just go around handing out tracks to the people waiting for the plane, on the plane, the flight attendants, stuff like that, where you could just like these little things where you could hand out the gospel to people. That was just like a great opportunity that it like brought. And then this year I was with Ben Hogan and then the Canouses, which I don't think they're here, but like, man, they talked to so many people. And Ben was like, he was like a really good partner because like I said, they talked to so many people, and like a lot of people kept getting saved, and they just kept having these good conversations. And me and Ben, like, not so much. So that whenever there would be like a streak where like no one answered, we just kept talking to people who were already saved, he'd be like, chin up. I mean, we're taking these bad doors so that they can take the good doors. And that was just like, that was just so great, like just to have been there. Like also just like something like when they said something, it was like, I have no idea what to say to that. Like that had, like there was like this one door, right? This lady was crazy. She was like, I believe in everything to get to heaven. I believe in all these religions, but I'm mostly Buddhist, but I'm also atheist. So I don't know how that makes any sense. But so that was that lady. And then later on, it was on this one street. It reminded me like kind of like by where we live, but like, it was just the street. And so like we just kept going. And then we came to this one house, and it was like, and I had these signs, it was like grandma's house, stuff like that. So I was like, oh, this is gonna be an old lady. Like nothing, like, I don't know, something about it, they're like, they're already saved, or they already know what to do. Like they already think they know what to do, or something like that. And so I was like, oh, this is gonna be like that. And then like this young girl comes out, and it was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And so like, technically that was supposed to be my door, but I had like, they would do like these guys, they were like working outside of this other house. So it was like, why don't you go ahead and give them flyers? So like I did that. And so he went to the two houses next. So it ended up being his house. So like, and then the girl, she was like, oh, I'm here, I'm taking care of my grandma, I don't live here. And so I was about to turn the step away, and there's like, oh, that, and then Ben goes like, oh, that's okay. And then he asked the question, right? I was like, oh, obviously, why didn't I think of that? But then, so like that happened, she got saved, and that was just like a crazy divine appointment, because she said that we'd actually put a flyer on her door the day before, but she was working like somewhere else. And so she just happened to be there this one day, like that day and Saturday are the only days of the week that she's off. And so that was just super cool, a great divine appointment. And she was just like so into it, like always asking Ben to like re-explain the verses like more deeply and stuff. So that was cool, and like some of the questions she was asking, I was like, huh? But then like Ben obviously was able to figure it out, was able to tell her what, like, and then she got saved. Her name was Serenity Howard, so pray for her. And then the van ride home, it was like 14 hours, something like that. And so it was like us, and then just Noah Hipley and Isaiah Sawyer, which like, okay. So like the fact that they were both together all in Soul Winning Marathon as a team, like a few years ago, that would have been a major problem. Like, what is happening? But like, it was great having them in the van with us. We just kept sharing stories of like they were talking about some of the stuff they did, and like that just added to it. So like that was great having them like just sharing testimonies with each other. So yeah, that was great.
TikTok.
Yeah, that's all. And then, thank you. Good night.
Ben.
Well, amen. That Josiah was a great partner. I will say that. My name is Ben, and this was my third Soul Winning Marathon. I had went in my junior year of high school, and that was when we went to Georgia to where Brother Tyler's old church was. And then we went to Indiana the next year after that to where my old youth pastor and athletic director and coach was, Brother Colin Morton. That was a blessing. And then this year we went to Salisbury, Maryland. And I just thought it was funny. We went to two churches that Tyler was, and I think there's maybe a pattern. But it was a blessing nonetheless. It was great to be able to go on my third Soul Winning Marathon, and I'm looking forward to many more. I'm just thankful for the opportunity to go, even when I was in high school, to be able to go again as now a college student. And before I was in Josiah's shoes, where I was put with someone who was more of a leader and knew much more, and then to be able to kind of be that for Josiah, not that I know much, but just to be able to help Josiah and encourage him just with all the things that I've learned, that was just a blessing. And he encouraged me, just his heart. He wanted to give everyone a track. He would stand in the middle of the road and hold the track out like this, so they'd have to stop, or else they'd hit him. And, but it worked. He gave a lot of people tracks, and that was a blessing just to see his heart his desire to want to be able to give people the gospel. And I just kept on encouraging him because I always felt so bad because I when I start giving some of the gospel, I like don't realize it. And then when I get from the door and I'm like, man, maybe I should have let Josiah, like for the people that I was able to lead to the Lord, I was like, maybe I should have turned that to Josiah. And I do regret about that, but I'm thankful for just his spirit that I know he was praying. The biggest thing for me when I pray for a soul winning partner is someone who actually prays and doesn't just stand at the door and kicks the stones that's in front of him or falls Amen. Asleep. I'm thankful that I knew Josiah was praying and that he was helpful. He made sure, you know, no distractions were getting in the way or anything like that. And it was just a blessing to be able to go with him. And just thank you to all the staff and the church and all the people that worked on it and drove us there around with the vans. I was with Brother James. I think every year I've been on Brother James' team, I'm pretty sure. And when it's with Brother James, it's always business. You get straight to the point, you go to the spot, and you're on time. So I'm thankful for that. We don't take any shortcuts or do any side things, that we just go out here to win souls. And I'm thankful for that. And he's a blessing to me. He's my youth pastor, and he's always encouraged me. And even on the vans, just being able to talk to him in between doors, it's always a blessing. And I think for, like, with Miss Whitehead and Mr. Parsons making the food and all the other ladies, that was, the food was great. Probably the best food I've had at any soul winning marathon. And so it was great just being able to, you know, sit down at lunch or dinner time to just kind of refresh, be fueled up to go to the next couple streets. And I think we handed out, what was it, 10,000 tracks?
Close to it.
Something like that, yeah. So that was just amazing to hear that number. And that's 10,000 people that got the gospel. And I think the statistic is like 1 in 7 people that get a track get saved. And that's what they say. And if that's true, then a lot of people that we don't know about could have gotten saved. And it's just those things. Like, I would say that to encourage Josiah. Like I said, we get the bad doors, so the Miss Canals could get the good doors. But, and while that may be true, there could have been a lot of people that came home from work that day, and they opened up those flyers, and they got a blessing. They were encouraged if they were saved, and if they weren't, maybe it convicted them, and they got saved. And I made sure to just encourage him as much as I can. It was a blessing. But he talked about serenity, and he talked about that crazy lady. Another thing he forgot to mention is when we were talking to her, and I told her how, you know, the reason we have a sin nature, because she didn't think that we were bad as people, just naturally. She thought people were naturally good. I explained to her, well, Adam and Eve, they sinned, and their sin nature, just passed through all of us. Every man is guilty of sin, that we do bad things because of that. And I explained that to her, and then that's when we were confused, because she first told us that she was a Buddhist, and she studied all of the religions, and then she told us, oh, well, I don't believe that God created everything, and I think we came here by evolution and the Big Bang. And I was like, what is this lady talking about? I had no idea what she believed. But and she said, I think Adam and Eve were people that existed, but maybe they weren't people. And I was like, okay. And I just moved on and just talked to her. And then eventually I got to the point where I told her, you know, we need God's forgiveness, and how we can't find, you know, we can't do good things or believe any sort of religion that would get us saved, but that it's only through getting saved through Jesus Christ that you can have salvation and that you can have the forgiveness. And she looked at me dead in the face and she said, oh, well, I don't have to worry about that. I've forgiven myself. I told a preacher about it. He said he's going to preach about it. So if he does, let me know in the mornings, because I'm usually not here. But
TikTok.
But the last person that I was able to lead to the Lord, his name was Matthew. I forgot his last name. I think it started with an S. But his name was Matthew, and he was a college student. We got to go to the university campus there, and we were at one of their dorms, and there was like 15 guys in this one duplex. It was crazy. Like, just more and more guys came out of the house. It was like a clown car. And Josiah was standing behind me, making sure to give out flyers to every person, which was as I was leading Matthew to the Lord. And he said he had a background in church, but he had stopped going, and he didn't know how to get to heaven. And He allowed me to show him through the Bible. He was receptive. He didn't really have much questions, but he understood everything that I was talking about. And I was able to lead him to the Lord. It was very smooth, and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. When I said that you have to pray, he was like, oh, I don't know if I can do that right now. I have to get to class. And I was like, just takes like 1 minute. I was like, 1 minute stands between you and eternity. And he was like, all right. And I was able to, he didn't know what to say. Usually I try to make people pray because I don't like leading someone through a prayer, because I don't want them to think it's the prayer that gets them saved. But I was able to just help him know what to say, and he prayed and he accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and that was just a blessing. I mean, I was really shaky when we went to the university campus, because I was like, I don't know how many of them are going to listen, because a lot of them are usually, they have a cold heart to the things of God, but they listened and it was a blessing. A lot of them I was able to have good conversations with, and perhaps it was because maybe I'm the same age as them, and maybe it made it easier to have a conversation with them. But a lot of them I was able to talk to, but a lot of them they had to go to their classes. But a lot of people I was able to give the gospel to in those college campuses. So for everyone here, just don't lose faith in the next generation of America. We can still witness to them. They're ready to listen. But oftentimes what happens is we push them away. So just don't forget about that. Don't forget that even that when maybe you're older and you can't go door to door, that you can still be a witness no matter what. And I'm thankful that you send out us, the younger people, to go knock thousands of doors. But everyone here in this church can do that too.
Amen. Young or old. Thank you, Ben.
You can do that. So,
thank you, Ben. Amen. Megan?
Good evening, church. Thank you for all your prayers and your support to be able to go. This is my second Sony Marathon. I'm in 11th grade in high school, so it was a blessing to be able to go. I was able to lead one girl to the Lord. My Sony partner was Miss Kelly. She was a blessing. I learned a lot from her. The little girl that I led to the Lord her name was also Kelly. She was very attentive and listened to everything that I said. I went through the plan of salvation. She listened. She prayed and everything. And then as I was going through and reviewing with her, she didn't seem to really understand what she had done. And she was confused about the whole, once you're saved, you're always saved. And so I took her to John 10, and I demonstrated it with a rock and put it in her hand and showed her, you know, once you're in God's hand, nothing can take you out of his hand. And I could see the light. I could see the light switch in her face. And it was a blessing to be able to see her completely understand it. And so I'm thankful for being able to lead her to the Lord and for being able to be with Miss Kelly. I learned a lot from her. And thank you for all your prayers and support.
And, all right, Nevaeh.
Hi, I am Nevaeh. I'm a freshman in college, and it was my first time doing the Soul Winning Marathon. It was great, but getting there was kind of scary because of the plane, but that's okay. So I didn't get to lead anyone to the Lord, but my Soul Winning partner was Valerie. She was amazing because, like, she kind of encouraged me a lot, because I would kind of get upset, like, you know, why can't I get as many as she's getting? But, you know, it's okay. But it was a great time. My room was really good. We were, like, during the nighttime, we were, like, pray and talk about it, like, our day. And, like, I don't know. But it was a good time. It was really a blessing, and there was this one time we were going through a neighborhood, and there was a little girl and her brother, and my group was, like, with Harris and Jonathan and Valerie, of course, but Harris was like, hey, like, y'all want to go over there and talk to these, like, kids? And we're like, oh, okay, sure. But while they were talking to the brother, me and Valerie went to go talk to the little girl, and she was 8 years old, and she was listening to everything we're saying, and she knew about God and stuff, but she just like didn't really know that much. So Valerie was talking to her, and then she got saved, but her brother didn't want to do it right now, but at least she was able to get saved. But yeah, it was a good time.
Amen. All right, Nehemiah.
Hello, church. My name is Nehemiah Vercellis. This is my sixth soul winning marathon. I'm in 11th grade, and I just want to say thank you, just real quickly, to like the whole church here and all the way up in Salisbury, to Salisbury Baptist Temple, just like not just our church's support, but also theirs, just through the week and stuff, and just the loving spirit that the church gave us. And this was the best soul winning marathon, like in my opinion, that I've been on. Maybe it's just like me personally, but like the group itself, like the spirit, just seemed a lot better, just like something about it this year. And I was with Lennox, he's not here, he's on spring break, and Caleb, and I was with him, and Caleb Shears, my brother, were the other people on our team. And Tuesday, the whole day went by, and like, I don't think anyone on our team was able to see anybody saved after obviously like a long night and stuff. So then the last the last house that we went to, we met this lady, her name was Miss Sharisha, and she was really like receptive and stuff. And then she stepped outside when I asked her, you know, if she knew if she would go to heaven when she died. And then I was able to go through with her. She turns out she grew up in church, and she has been thinking lately how she needs to like get back in church and stuff. She thought baptism is what God is saying. I was able to explain like it's like through putting your faith in Jesus Christ and stuff. And she ended up getting saved. That was really cool. And then she has two kids that she's going to try and get into church and stuff. So, and then on Wednesday, I was able to lead, well, technically four people to the Lord, but me and Lennox like shared them. So, but it was good. Like all of them had like something special. Like this one girl, her name was Esther. She was just walking down the street while we were waiting for Caleb and Elijah at a house. And that was cool. Like the perfect timing of us waiting there and her walking down the street where we met her, and she ended up getting saved. There's this man named Luis, and he was walking to his car while we got out of the van. My dad said, hey, make sure you go and talk to that guy. So me and Lennox ran over and went through Plan of Salvation with him, and his boss just kept calling him because he was there working on a house. And yet was like, hold on, let me call my boss real quick. And like, but I was able, and then his boss put up like right when he was about to pray. He was like, well, I kind of got to go. I was like, well, this is pretty important, right? He was like, yeah, I guess so. So then he got saved, and that was really great. And then on Thursday, it was like, we had been out there for like 10 minutes, and this lady came to the door, an older lady, her name was Miss Pam. And she, long story short, she was just really shy and stuff. And it really just got me thinking, like, someone like this, I don't, even after getting saved, I don't know if she'll ever go to church again. She's just that type of person, very introverted. And I was thinking, like, I'm so glad that you don't have to be in church to get saved. Because I didn't get saved in church. I was in my parents' bedroom at my house. And I'm just glad that we don't believe that, that you can get saved anywhere. And so she ended up getting saved. And then later on that afternoon, I have 30 seconds. Later on that afternoon, we were soul winning around the college, and we got kicked out of an apartment complex, and I was really discouraged. But then a little bit later, when we were in another apartment complex, I was able to talk to this college student. Her name was Gwen, and it was just really cool talking to her because I asked her, you know, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you would get saved? And she said no. I said, well, I can show you from the Bible. She said, yeah, that'd be great. So she grew up in church too, but just she said, I got to the end, and then she said, well, I'm not. I said, well, do you know, have you done this before? She said, yeah, I actually have. And then I showed her John 10, how she can know for sure. And she said, that's so cool. And then, like, how she'd never heard that verse before, and she was able to get assurance of her salvation. And just, it was cool, because after we got kicked out of the apartment complex, it was, like, the same way. It was just a divine appointment that God gave us so that now she knows for sure that she doesn't have to have those doubts. But just if you could pray for some people that me and Lennox talked to that didn't get saved, that we were able to lead through the plan of salvation, but they just didn't make the decision. There was Mackenzie, Christian, then these college guys named Glenn, Jaden, and Justin, which has a whole other story. And then this one named Amir on the last day. But if you could just pray for them, pray for the church, and thank you.
All right, Noah.
Hi. My name's Noah Hipley. I don't know how to word that. So this is my second year soul winning. My partner was Isaiah Sawyer, surprise, you know. But the Lord used me to lead six souls to the Lord this year. I think we all did a great job. We did what we can and everything. me and Isaiah, this is like a little quick little funny story, but me and Isaiah were like, we're going to go this whole entire week without getting yelled at, you know. And I think it was the last day before leaving. We're all in the van, and we all had to have six flyers. And everybody was like, everybody count. I was like, Isaiah, how many do you have? He had 40. And he got kind of ripped up. But, like, we did great. We took it all serious and everything. And, again, I led six. The first girl, her name was Christiana. She looked like she was 15, 16 years old, but she was 26. And second one was a mom. Her name was Nicole. Third lady, she was 87 years old. And she was like, I've been going to church all my life, and I hope I'm going to heaven. And I was like, oh. You know, and so I got to talk to her about it, and I got to let her. And fourth one, I'm at four, yeah. And so fourth one, we were at a college campus, and we all kind of got kicked out because we were soliciting or whatever it was. And as we're walking out, there's a girl walking in. And so I was like, oh, let me just give her a check and talk to her. And I gave it to her, and she was the lady that was kicking us out. She like screamed at me and Isaiah to get out. You're not supposed to be here. And I said to that lady, I said, can we go over to that corner of the road? And she was like, yeah. I was like, I have your time, right? And she was like, yeah. And so I got to talk to her all about it. And it was really sweet. She was really sweet about everything. And she was like, you know, I was really far from God, but this made me want to get really close with him again. And the next guy's name was Connor. This guy was huge, you know, like muscular, not that. But he was really fit and everything. And he was really cool, and like that one guy from earlier talking about, it's always the big serious guys that have the soft hearts. That's how it was right there. And the next guy, his name was Lewis. Like, I knocked on his door. He's like, oh, what's your denomination? I said, Baptist. He was like, oh, well, I'm Catholic. And I told him that, well, when you die, you're not gonna get asked what denomination you were as if you went to heaven. And he was like, you got a point. And so I went through all of it with him. And I asked him, is that something you want to receive? And he was like, yeah. So we bowed our heads, and he said everything he had to say, and we lift our heads, and he just started crying. And it was starting to make me just a little cry, you know. You know. And then I was starting to make Isaiah, you know, just a little bit cry, but he was crying, and you could just tell that something happened, and just, it was such a great time to be there. Just being involved with everybody was great, and I was just so happy to be there, and if there's another one, I'll go to it.
Amen. Amen. There's a reason for this. Amen. And we'd like for you to pray for the follow-up that's going on at Salisbury Baptist Temple right now. I spoke to Tyler earlier. There were more than 10 first-time visitors as a direct result of the Soul Winning Marathon. And pray as they continue to follow up on these and the events that are coming up in that church. I'm going to have you all stand. If I could have Mrs. Johnson come to the piano. Would you do this for us? Would you pray for these young people and pray for our college and pray for Salisbury Baptist Temple as we follow up on these things? As the piano begins to play and Brother Burt begins to sing, would you make your way to the altar and pray for this?